¡Ale!
¡Sí, señor!
It's the day before Halloween. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast, el podcast para ti. I'm Jorge Giorgi Martin, and Primo Ricky is in the house.
What up?
Yeah, and you know, if he's in the house, just make sure there's no one lurking behind, because it is Halloween. You never know if somebody might be with a chainsaw or something. God, going on.
Dark outside right now. You're gonna scare me. I live all by myself, just me, my dog, and my birds.
Oh, man. Well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels, Twitter at familiaffp, our Familia FFP Facebook page, as well as our familiaffp.com website, where we got original content. Well, this is Friday, October 30th, day before Halloween. Primo, you know, let's go back. You know, you're a little closer to the younger days when dressing up for Halloween, but what are some of the favorite memories from Halloween's past?
God, I remember being a teenager in high school or middle school and going through the neighborhoods till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. with a pillowcase filled with candy. Those were the days. I don't even know if they do that anymore, but because I feel like not everybody's handing out candy. I remember you're always looking for that big king size one or the normal size one, because everything was the fun size. But and always finding that pamphlet that told you you're going to go to hell. So... Good times.
Oh, man.
Trading the candy at the end. Something that I, in my neighborhood, maybe because I'm from Lancaster, California, Tumbleweed Town, not a lot of Mexican candy comes in our bags. Did you have that growing up where you guys would get Mexican candy?
Oh, in Pacoima? Oh, yeah. We got plenty of mazapan. And, you know, a lot of people would go Americanized, get the little candy bars, the mini candy bars, the Three Musketeers and the Snickers. But no.
You know what Thea Virginia does?
What?
She buys the candy after Halloween when it's on sale, and she freezes it and gives it out for the next Halloween.
Oh, gotta love that. God, I love that. Oh, man.
So don't take your kids to that area.
Oh, wow. You know, one piece of candy that I always hated was the butterscotch. I know it's not Mexican candy. I never liked those.
The strawberry candies that are wrapped that look like a little strawberry, are those Mexican candies?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Because I always saw, you know, my abuelita with them.
And, oh yeah, she had them all the time.
Yeah, or like the mazapan, the peanuts of that just so chalky. You had to have like milk with it.
You always wanted to make sure you weren't wearing dark pants when you opened one of those up, because you knew it was going to be getting all over you. Oh,
but they're so good. You just had to have a little bit at a time.
Oh, and you know what? You weren't kidding about, you know, being out till all hours, man. You know, when you're in a Latino neighborhood, they trick or treat until well past it should be.
It's an excuse. It's for Latinos. It's an excuse to celebrate, to just be up and be happy. And every day we should always be looking for that.
Oh, well, I remember one time, and we were, you know, this is when we were living in Pacoima. I mean, this was like 10:30, maybe even 11 o'clock at night. We were out, our lights were off and everything. And everybody was in bed, and all of a sudden we're banging on our door, and my dad goes to the door, and it's a bunch of kids, trick or treat. And like, are you kidding me? Yeah. It's like 11 o'clock. Everybody's in their pajamas. So we had some candy left over and they gave it to them. But yeah, that was hilarious. But I will say, you know, when I think of Halloween, I think I was like in 7 or something like that. I got a Superman outfit, and it was just like, it was like a plastic Superman, you know, like a blue suit or something like that. I mean, it's definitely baggy or stuff like that, with the ugly red cape. And I had a red mask just to cover my eyes, and went over the nose. But I mean, I was just like, oh, that was one of those things that like we bought at Save-On or something like that. And
did you wear it after Halloween too?
Oh yeah, When I was 7 years old, Superman was my god. He was it. Oh, That was
I had an
beautiful.
astronaut outfit that I just loved because it made me feel so much like an astronaut. It had the helmet, all that, and it just felt so real. But then, and I got to wear it at school too, which was one of the first times that I remember. And then later in life, I was a really happy Jesus, and my grandma helped me make like the whole the white garb that he wore, and I had a wig. And I had like a golden crown, and it was just I had the Jesus sandals, which are just like leather sandals that dads wear. It was like my favorite.
I have those.
Exactly. So I walked around there and it just was an awesome outfit. So I would say those two are my favorite all time. And besides, I think for like 5 years straight, I was a bumblebee just because it was so easy and simple. And it reminded me of the bumblebee from The Simpsons.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, one thing I do love about having kids is it kind of brings back Halloween, and you know, my girls get a lot more into it, and they get.
What's your favorite outfit of theirs?
Oh gosh, 1 year. For them, there was 1 year my twins. One was a pirate girl, and the other one was a cowgirl. And it was, Larissa was a pirate girl and Rianne was a cowgirl. Solana was 1 year. She was Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, just looked just like Dorothy, but it was fantastic. But one of my favorite moments, we were this one kid in our neighborhood. He really goes out all out for Halloween. He does his whole front yard, like a haunted house or something like that. And this time he and his friends were like scaring other people, and he was dressed as the Grim Reaper. So my kids always love going down to his house because I swear this kid should be, you know, designing rides at Disneyland. And we went in there, and the kid is, and he was like a teenager at the time. This is probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And he's doing the Grim Reaper thing. And Larissa, who was dressed as a pirate girl, she had like a fake sword. He's going out and he's like threat, you know, it looks like he's going to do the, you know, hit her with the, his Grim Reaper, and she's got her sword out and they're like dueling. So it was beautiful. It was
and
beautiful.
That's nice because usually it takes kids to get us into the Halloween spirit again.
Absolutely.
To really play those characters. So it's nice to see someone in your neighborhood, you know, and it's a kid too, get your kids into the spirit and all happy and childlike.
Oh man. Well, I'm going to be happy and childlike doing our Thursday night football recap.
Go for it.
Bueno, my nephew Robbie, when he was learning to talk, he's 5 years old now, he would sometimes yell, "Oh no, awa." He wasn't talking about last night's Panthers Falcons game, but the rain was such a factor in the play that he might as well have been. Erin Andrews kind of summed it up best when she showed how the rain was coming down hard and sideways. But it didn't stop the Falcons from winning 25-17. La Lluvia just definitely affected the passing game on both sides, especially those fantasy managers who were leaning on Teddy Bridgewater. Sorry, guys. Lo siento mucho. They were disappointed. He threw for just 176 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He did take a big hit to the side of the helmet in the second quarter that he really had many wondering if he'd be back, but he gutted it out and finished in a game that really was not what you'd expect against one of the worst pass defenses in football. Another reminder, familia, keep an eye on the weather report when you're setting your lineups, especially for your quarterbacks. Matty Ice, Mateo Yello, Matt Ryan only threw the ball 30 times, which tells you what kind of game this was. He completed 21 for 281 yards and 0 TDs. Julio Jones was his usual firme self, 7 grabs for 137 yards, 0 TDs. I saw a stat on Twitter where Julio Jones has the most 100-yard games with 0 TDs in NFL history at 29. Second place is 22. Okay, haters, all you people who are like complaining about Julio Jones not scoring as many touchdowns as you should, go ahead, hate on hate. Dame Julio, por favor, gracias. Calvin Ridley gave fantasy managers quite a scare when he went out in the second quarter with an ankle injury. I mean, that's say I had flashbacks to Davante Adams last year having his toe injury that knocked him out for several weeks. Ridley did not return. It was called an ankle injury. That's a shame because he's having such a wonderful season. Afterward, x-rays did come back negative, so that's good news. But keep an eye on his availability going forward. The Falcons do play next week, and then they have their bye. So a lot of times teams just kind of, you know, err on the side of caution when they got a bye coming up to kind of give somebody full time to recover. Todd Gurley spent a lot of time on the sideline yesterday, which was kind of curious. He was on the bike for a while. There was no talk of an injury, but it was curious in a game where he looked like a great play. Just 46 yards on 18 carries and a score. He scored again, so just to keep himself fantasy relevant. Though Brian Hill did vulture 11 carries for 55 yards, so just kind of keep an eye on this backfield. I mean, maybe just look at chalk it up to a weird day on a, you know, in the, on weather, when weather is playing a part. Back to the Panthers, the Mike Davis adios, adios tour got watered down for 77 total yards and no TDs. Curtis Samuel, he did have himself a game with two touchdowns. One was in the air on a beautiful little pass about 20 yards out, and then another one came on the ground, a 12-yarder, where he just showed the versatility that people keep getting talking about it and kind of teasing about it. But again, you know, he's going to get designed runs, so he could become fantasy relevant down the road. DJ Moore caught just two balls, and they were both late in the fourth quarter, got 55 yards. Troy Aikman even said the Falcons weren't doing anything special on defense against Moore, I guess, you know, say. Just a tough game for DJ Moore owners. I'm with you. I feel you. I feel you. I got him on one of my teams. Robbie Anderson, kind of quiet for a guy who's one of the leading leaders in yardage for receiving. So 48 yards on five catches. Again, can't stress enough how the weather impacted this game. So check the weather reports, familia. By the way, sending out a happy Halloween to my nephews in Virginia, Robbie and his big brother, my godson, and the world's biggest chungo, Evan. Love you, mijos. Now, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
Well, let's start off with some good news before we get into the scary stuff. Michael Thomas returned to practice on Thursday for the Saints, so that's a good sign. I mean, we're finally looking to get him back after he was hurt in week one. Just everybody who were picked them in the first round or have just been waiting, or they traded them and got rid of them. So good news there. We're on the scary side. Well, Joe Mixon has not been practicing this week. He missed it again on Thursday. So just definitely start making plans otherwise. Gio Bernard is looking like he's going to be the starter. And looking like the starter for the Cowboys, we're going to preview the game a little bit later in this show. But the Cowboys are talking about quarterback Ben DiNucci being the likely start over Andy Dalton, who's still in the NFL's concussion protocol. Hopefully it means more Ezekiel Elliott to kind of help out to, the, you know, kind of make up for the season he's been having so far, which has been a little bit underwhelming. So, vámonos. Ojalá. La veladora. Over in the Jets country, Coach Adam Gase said that Jamison Crowder is not looking good for Week 8 against the Chiefs, and Brashad Perryman has already been ruled out for that Week 8 game. So if Crowder's out, who's going to catch passes for the Jets? You know, that's a 19.5 point spread that I think is going to go up by the game time. So vamos a ver. In some COVID news, the Giants offensive linemen were sent home on Thursday after they were exposed to Will Hernandez, who tested positive for the virus. So keep an eye on this one. As of right now, it doesn't look like the game is in jeopardy. Over in Tampa, the Bucs had an equipment manager test positive for COVID. So again, as of now, that game is not in doubt. The Chargers had an offensive lineman, Ryan Groy, already placed on the COVID-19 list. The team did not practice on Thursday, so they met everyone met virtually, obviously, you know, trying to be safe. So vamos a ver, let's hope that nothing happens here further to jeopardize that game. The Vikings placed linebacker Todd Davis on the COVID-19 list. So again, you know, and that's a second hit to their defense. So again, look ahead to the pack to bent big on the Packers. Load up on your Packers and your fantasy lineup this weekend. So vamos a ver there. Over on the Broncos, the opponent for the Chargers this week, right guard Graham Glasgow was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So again, you know, that game doesn't look like it's in jeopardy, but keep an eye on this to make sure that there's no more players who are placed on test positive and are potentially jeopardizing that game. So keep an eye on the on everything from Tom Pelissero and Adam Schefter this over the weekend. Over in Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew has multiple fractures in his thumb, so he's questionable for week 9. They're obviously on a bye this week, so there's some talk about Jake Luton possibly going into the starting lineup, but you know, there's been all this talk about Gardner Minshew not doing particularly well lately. Maybe this is the reason why, but yeah, something to keep an eye. Ponlo en la mira. Over in New England, Julian Edelman is, after he had knee surgery, he's likely to be placed on the injured reserve. But again, this is a 34-year-old player, so this is something that that needs to be monitored. But quite honestly, I just don't know who I'd want on in as far as pass catchers in New England. It just looks so ugly, so ugly. In the backfield for New England, Damian Harris has been limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, he's been one of the leading ball carriers for them the last few weeks. So, again, keep an eye on that. Over in Chicago, Allen Robinson has missed 2 days of practice with and he's in the concussion protocol. So, you people with Allen Robinson on your team, you're definitely looking at Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller as replacements this week. So keep an eye on this one. But again, it does not look good for Allen Robinson to be playing this weekend. Philip Lindsay does look like he's going to be back at practice. He's been back at practice on Thursday, so he is a possibility to play on Sunday. You know, that's going to be a tough one because Melvin Gordon definitely took kind of the lead in that backfield, so vamos a ver. You don't know on this one. This next one is lightly NFL news. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson, tested positive for COVID, and he's going to be missing the game this weekend for the Tigers. Again, I understand. You'll say he's at Clemson, but hey, he's the likely number one draft pick next year. So we got to keep an eye on this one to make sure that he recovers healthy and for all those teams that are tanking for Trevor. So keep an eye on this one. I mean, it's a special, special talent. All right. Well, let's get back into the Sunday games and going down to Miami, Primo, your parents' home. This is a new state.
And this is a funky one because, like, we don't know what this Miami team has anymore. They're new. They have a new quarterback. So tell me what you think, Primo.
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing because, you know, I was watching the Miami game where Tua got into the game at the end and he got a couple of passes in. And I mean, he looked good at that point, but I mean, you mentioned this in yesterday's episode. Actually Primo Nico mentioned this in yesterday's episode where it's like, it's different. It's there's a big difference going up against the NFL guys. And I know he's gone against great defenders in the SEC, but I mean, it's definitely a step up in weight class. We've seen Burrow have some good games. Justin Herbert has just been a revelation. He's been fantastic. I think part of the reason is Miami just said, look, we've been hearing so much about these rookies. We got to see what we got. And I hope he's healthy, but you know, but Tua sending him to the Wolves against the Ram defense, which is one of the top defenses, you know, pass defenses out there. They're number
Aaron
two.
Donald's going to be so happy.
Oh, yeah, because their offensive line is still not that good. And, he was just, I mean, he was a beast on Monday Night Football against against Nick Foles and the Bears. But, I hope he treats Tua nicely. He welcomes the rookie to the league quietly. But, Yeah, this could be a tough game for if he's not on, this is going to be a tough game for the Dolphins because then the Rams can concentrate on Myles Gaskin and slowing him down.
And I love Gaskin, but I feel like he's just not going to do it this week.
And I don't like Devontae Parker. Mike Gesicki could be a play because the Rams are number 20.
No, he's not a play. Don't tell people that. Stop lying to them,
Oh,
Georgie.
well, I'm
Just
starting him
because
on one of my
you
leagues.
like him, just because he's in your dreams every night. Just like,
I'm sick for
when is he
Gesicki.
good? When was the last time he was good?
That was probably about 2 weeks ago. It was, yeah. Believe me, I've been disappointed in it. I've been disappointed in him.
So
I mean, he
don't,
had a good.
I just feel like you're going down that bad path of going with your heart and not your brain.
Well,
But it's
yeah.
okay.
I mean,
Okay.
if you don't have one of the top four tight ends. Seriously, you're reaching for a Gesicki and hoping that he does something. You know, he
And you're
had
saying this because the Rams are 20th against tight end.
their 20th against 20. Yeah, exactly. That's why. And the other thing is, I've seen traditionally when young quarterbacks come in, a lot of times rookie quarterbacks they end up dumping off to the tight end a lot. So Gesicki, yeah, that's why I mean, we're spending a lot of time in Gesicki. Just FYI, he did go for 91 yards on five receptions against the 49ers a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago. So
As you say,
I'm
he did
sorry.
go for like 9 points at one point in the
Yeah,
season.
2 weeks ago. Well, you know, it was 2 games ago. It was 2 games ago. On the Rams side, you know what? They are a running team. They are a running first team with Jared Goff playing, doing
But
play
who?
action. And I think it's Henderson. I really think it's Henderson. Cam Akers got 0 carries. He played 3 snaps in the last game. I know Malcolm
I
Brown
played
vultured a
Henderson,
touchdown.
Georgie. It wasn't worth it. Is he worth starting?
Well, you know, the Dolphins are 24 against running backs. So they're not good against running backs. The Rams are gonna try and dominate the game. And I think they're gonna try and set the tone with the running backs and then try and take their shots with Woods and Kupp. I mean, the Dolphins are fairly decent against the wide receiver. They're kind of middle of the road. Woods and Kupp definitely did not have good games last week. I mean, because Goff just didn't throw that much, but I can see this being a game where the Rams are using the running game to just kind of open up the passing game later.
So just running the whole way, then that's it. So this game, if you had to bet on who's, if this was like a DraftKings captain game, you would basically just lean heavy on the Rams running game.
I would. I'd probably make Darrell Henderson. If it was this game, I would make Darrell Henderson my captain.
Okay.
Even with Goff and Tagovailoa. But and
Okay.
The Ram defense is definitely a play this week because again,
That's a good point.
rookie quarterbacks, they can be very generous.
If we were doing that, I would definitely throw Rams defense as my captain.
Yeah.
Well, let me go to the next game, which is going to be a way more competitive game than the one you just talked about. Pittsburgh 6-0, the only undefeated team. Am I
Ooh, this one's gonna
correct?
be
Right?
good. Oh, they're the last of the
At
Mohicans.
Baltimore Ravens 5-1. Baltimore's favored by 4 points, and they also have the over under 46.5. This game's not going to be that high. Usually, Pittsburgh Baltimore is either really high or really low, like 13 to 17. So I definitely want to go with the under. Let's look at Big Ben last week. He really, when we saw him play last week, he bleeds. He is defeatable. And what I mean by that is he threw 3 interceptions last week against who did they play last week? The Titans.
Yeah.
Who are an okay defense, maybe top 10, but they're going against the Baltimore Ravens this week, so he cannot play that sloppy. James Conner's been very good. I'm happy that they have him because it's James Conner's what's going to be able to open up the game for Big Ben. He's not just going to be able to throw everywhere. He's got 5 different receivers when you look at Claypool, Johnson, Washington, Juju, and Ebron. And it's your guess or mine, which one he's going to go to. Last week, it was the Diontae Johnson show. Juju got 85 yards, which isn't bad, but he didn't get a touchdown. I've been saying it every time. A different Steeler is going to get like multiple touchdowns every game. I have no idea who it's going to be this week. It'll probably be Juju or Washington. So mark my words. But they're going against Baltimore. When you look at Baltimore, they're fourth against running back, fifth against the wide receiver. I feel like Big Ben can move the ball, but they're going to get stuck in the red zone. So look for their kicker, Boswell, to probably eat up most of the points, because I just don't see them pushing the ball against Baltimore. On the Baltimore side, same thing. They don't have any running game. And that's good, I guess, because Pittsburgh's super good against the running game. They're third. They, like I've said this before, they've held Saquon to like 6 yards or 26, something like that. So they're going to have to look to throw it in the air. And that's the only way they can do anything. So we're looking for Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, to be able to do some long distance ones, because all you need is one or two touchdowns against this team, long breaks, because both defenses, this is going to be a defensive game. So look for Hollywood Brown to get a long touchdown. Pittsburgh's 26th on defending the wide receivers compared to Baltimore's fifth. So it'll be interesting to see if Pittsburgh can spread the ball. And they haven't been doing so to Ebron, which they really need to, because that's the weakest point in Baltimore's defense. But as far as this game, I bet you Baltimore wins by anywhere from a field goal to a touchdown, and it's going to have to be all through the air because they have no running game.
Yeah, I think this one, the only person, I think Marquise Brown is going to be a threat for maybe getting a long ball. But yeah, this one, the Ravens have been playing better defense of late, and they had a couple, you know, they had the bye week to really just kind of get healthy.
They just got the player from Dallas.
So. Yeah. And they also got the lineman from the Vikings. So they're just, I mean, they're going
to
be loaded.
That's who they got. I think the Dallas guy went to, I forgot where he went.
Oh, yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, we could look that one up. But no, it was, yeah, they got the defensive lineman from Yannick Ngakoue from the Vikings, and it's just, it's going to be tough. I mean, I'm sitting Big Ben on one of my leagues. I'm playing Lamar Jackson just because you play Lamar Jackson, and I think, you know, he hasn't looked his best. I mean, he's number 11 in fantasy points per game this season, which is just like, wow, who would have thought that, especially the people who used like a high pick on, you know, a first or even an early second round pick on him. But it's going to be tough. I mean, other than the wide receiver, Pittsburgh is tough on the running backs, tough on the tight ends. They're number 6 against the tight ends, number 3 against the running backs. So this is going to be a dogfight game. I'm taking the under, and I'm taking Pittsburgh plus the 4 points.
I think it'll be Baltimore, but go for it.
Oh, well, Ricky, you know what? I put my name against the next one, but this is your Chargers. So, you know, I'm going to let you spew on Justin Herbert.
It'll
for
be
a minute.
Quick because Denver's 2-4, but they still have an okay defense. I don't know what's going on with their offense. You see Jerron Locke, 254 yards last week, 2 interceptions. Chargers defense is beatable. Does Drew Lock beat them? I wouldn't bet on it. Melvin Gordon got a luck touchdown at the end, but with Phillip Lindsay being out, Melvin Gordon's definitely going to have his revenge game. I see him maybe gain 2 touchdowns, only because the Chargers, they're horrible against the quarterback. So I imagine Drew Lock's going to go to Melvin Gordon, because who else does he have? Tim Patrick has a hamstring issue. Jerry Judy's because he only had 20 yards last week. Noah Fant, I don't know what he's going to do. So
we don't know if he's going to play.
And he just got back.
Right.
So I don't know if Drew Lock has nowhere else to go. So just expect everything to have to go through Gordon. And because the Chargers just can't defend that well against it, it's just going to go through Gordon. He's going to get all the points for the Denver side. But on the Chargers side, Herbert's been tearing it up. He's been their lead rusher. And Chargers are going to want to get out to a quick lead and just sit on it, because they don't want to have – when you don't have Eckler, you don't have some – you're a big piece of your offense. And basically, they need to get out to a quick lead and slow the game down and just basically end it, because Kelly hasn't been very efficient. He went 12 rushes for 29 yards and 5 for 5 on receiving, but for only 24 yards. Jackson, 12 yards, 5 carries, and 43 yards rushing. They're just not efficient. So they need Eckler because they're not going to be able to eat the clock out. So in this game, they need to hurry up and run to a lead because they're not going to be able to run the clock out real quick. Denver, they're lucky, sucks so much. I don't think they're going to be able to even do garbage time points. They might be lucky if they get 2 touchdowns, maybe 17 points. So when you look at the over-under here, the only way it's under 44.5 is if they don't want to show off with Herbert and they want to do what Patrick Mahomes did last week and just like sit on the game when you're 3 touchdowns ahead. But I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think Denver's defense is going to challenge Herbert, but Herbert's badass. We're going to see him lead again. And it's all going to go through Herbert this week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's I think it's going to be another big Keenan Allen yay because the Denver defense is good against the run. They're not good against not great against the pass. So that's where they're beatable, and I think that's where they're going to win. I think Justin Herbert's going to have himself another big game, and Keenan Allen, you know, Mike Williams only had 4.4 yards receiving last week, so. I could see him having a big bounce back game. It's just, I think the Chargers could be getting on a bit of a run. Plus, they got a little more healthy on the defensive side, so that's going to help them out.
Yeah, they got Melvin back.
Definitely. You want me to take the next one?
Definitely, go for it.
Well, Chicago host at 5-2, hosting the New Orleans Saints at 4-3. This is going to be, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a wonky game. New Orleans is a 4-point favorite at 43.5 point over under. I mean, you look at this game. I mean, it's still the big question mark is Michael Thomas. Does he play? And on the other side, does Allen Robinson play? If both receivers are down, this is a very different offenses. The one thing is Drew Brees has had the practice and, he's been feeding Alvin Kamara a lot out of the backfield. He's just been phenomenal. I think he's the running back one right now. But, you know, last week he found Marquez Callaway for
he's like the fantasy player number one.
He's just been wonderful. Wonderful. And I know you're going to remind us that you got him at the beginning of the second round, but really, you know what, if there's no Thomas, you know, Emmanuel Sanders missed last week's game with an injury. I mean, it's like Marquez Callaway and Traquan Smith helping him out. It really narrows the option for the Saints. On the Chicago side, Foles had himself a tough time against the Ram defense. It's a little bit – the Saints, for some reason, have been a little bit more forgiving to quarterbacks and wide receivers this year, which is kind of weird because they do have a defensive secondary with a lot of pedigree. But they've been getting out some points. If there's no Allen Robinson, it's Darnell Mooney, it's Anthony Miller. It could be those guys getting some play.
So they can survive without –
I don't know if they're going to survive. I think New Orleans is going to have enough, even, you know, they're going to be playing in the crisp weather. But I think it's, you know, it comes down to who's got the better quarterback, and Drew Brees is the better quarterback in this game. Jimmy Graham could, get some play this week because the Saints have just been bleeding points to the tight end. They're number 30 in tight end points allowed. So, it's going to be interesting. The Chicago defense is still legit. I mean, they're tough, but, I tell you, the Saints just might have enough playmakers just having Alvin Kamara on the field to win this game.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I don't think we're going to see Emmanuel Sanders because I think the COVID, no matter what, is 3 weeks.
Yeah. That one's a tough one. Let's go over to Seattle. This is going to be a very contrast in styles a little bit between
both of them have a game. Both of them need to prove something with this game.
Yeah, and I think they're back in the division. Seattle's coming off of a heartbreaking loss to the Cardinals. San Francisco is riding that high off of beating up on the Patriots. But just a contrast in styles. The 49ers run, but who's going to run the ball? Tevin Coleman, he's off IR this week. He may play this week. Jamichael Hasty may play. Jerick McKinnon had negative 1 yards rushing last week. I mean, it's and they're the running team. I think that there's going to be some Kittle action here. You know, even though Seattle is number three against fantasy tight ends, but I think it's mostly because they just give away all the points to fantasy wide receivers because they're number 32. But are the 49ers going to throw enough with, you know, with just Kittle and Ayuk? Because really, I mean, that Deebo Samuel is out. So you just don't know. On the other side, you just fire up Russell Wilson. Fire up Russell Wilson. It's going to be his game. And it's going to be Tyler Lockett. It's going to be DK Metcalf. The 49er defense has been tough. I mean, they still don't have all their horses in the secondary. So, and they're still, you know, number six against wide receivers. But I still think if they're going to score, they're going to score through the air because their whole running game is question marks. Chris Carson, game time decision. Carlos Hyde, hamstring. DJ Dallas.
I mean, who?
Exactly. Again. So, I mean, it's you let Russ cook and you just go from there.
Yeah, and I think you pick and choose between Metcalf and Lockett because this is like the first week where we really see Metcalf throw up barely any points, but Lockett throw up like a gajillion. So, yeah, I think both of these guys you definitely want to throw against this defense. Even though the defense is really good, this is the only way that Seattle scores, and Russell's just way too accurate to skip out on. On the San Fran side, God, I hate all of their running back options. And the way Jimmy G looked last week, it's just like, are we back to seeing the crappy San Fran? Even though they won last week, right?
They won easy. They won easy against the Patriots. But they haven't gone – I mean, they went when they went against Kyler Murray took them apart. And
it's like
and
Jimmy G had two interceptions last week. Yeah. It's like – We still don't know this team, and that's why I say that they still have something to prove. That's all. And Seattle has something to prove, not because this is the Niners, but because they lost last week. That's why.
I think you're right, and I don't think they want to lose. They're going to do everything they can to not have two losses in a row in the NFC West, because those all victories in the NFC West are going to be precious, because that division is going to be a dogfight. Well, going from the best division to the worst division.
The worst.
Is
the league leader 2-5?
Yeah. Philly 2-4-1. They're, you know, because of the tie.
Oh, sorry, because the tie confuses my brain. Against the 2-5 Dallas at Philly, so I don't know if they're going to have fans. But already, Dalton, concussion, did not practice on Wednesday. Are we going to see him? Are we going to see DiNucci? Who knows? Does it matter? Either way, we know we're going to get a ninth-tier quarterback, and you're not going to see anything from CeeDee Lamb. You're not going to see anything from Gallup, and you're just going to see Cooper with something because the quarterback's not going to know where to throw the ball other than deep in the air. And then Zeke, we're not going to see much of because garbage time, they don't feature running backs. And no matter what, because this team has a horrible defense, they're always going to be behind. This time, they just can't catch up like they could with Dak. Now, when you look at Philadelphia, who's one of the most horrible teams outside the Cowboys, Carson Wentz has been a little bit on fire lately. Last week, he had 359 yards. Without Sanders, Scott had 92 yards and a touchdown with a beautiful last-minute throw or receiving touchdown at the end to win the game. Fulgham, however you want to pronounce it. He's been playing well. I believe, what's the other guy? I think it's Ward. They've all been playing really well, like a good unit. So, and this Richard Rodgers guy, who he went 6 for 85 in place of Goddard and Ertz. But now Goddard might be back, so we'll see what goes on with them. But this team is just playing more like a team than Dallas. So they're going to whoop booty against Dallas. Dallas just is not there yet. So look for Philadelphia to kind of put on a clinic and kind of show everybody, this is what we're trying to do. this is not what they're going to look like every week, but at least we're going to be able to see them showcase their abilities. And it'll be fun on that end. On the Dallas end, I don't know what to tell you. I'm super excited that this is happening and Zeke isn't going to be fantasy relevant, but it's just ugly to watch unfold, right? To see it, Gallup and Lamb get zero last week.
Oh, duele. And you know what? And it's been tough to watch Zeke owning him in our Familia League. You just see the big difference that offensive line. I mean, he's talented. He's got a Hall of Fame.
You were going to get Zeke or Saquon. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy to have, Zeke, and maybe their offensive line gets a little bit more healthy. I mean, they got four of their five starters out. So, I mean, that just that makes a difference. That makes a difference. I mean, all the stats go out the door when you don't have an offensive line. And mm-hmm. So, you know, you're throwing a JV offensive line out there in the NFL, and even it's going to be tough. I mean, Philly, I'm playing Philly. I'm firing up everybody. I mean, Miles Sanders is still not practicing this week. I mean, he wasn't practicing as of Wednesday. So, we don't have the Thursday practice report yet, but, quién sabe. I mean, but Boston Scott filled in nicely. He was a little bit of a dual threat, caught some balls out of the backfield. So, and I think against Dallas, he could be an interesting DFS play if Miles Sanders is out, because he could be a cheap guy who's going to get some receptions and run all over that Dallas defense, because they're
going to lean on him a lot if they have the lead.
They are just bad across the board. And the other one to keep an eye on is if Jalen Reagor plays. You know, he started practicing this week, so he could play Sunday. So, there's so many rookie wide receivers have been going nuts this year. So, vamos a ver, it may be his turn next.
I'll take us to New Jersey once again, but on the NFC side. To the other ugly NFC Easter.
Well, it's the Tampa Bay Bucks, 5-2 at New York Giants, 1-6. It's an 11-point spread. Tampa Bay is favorite and a 46.5 over under. I'm going to make it easy right now. I mean, Wayne Gallman was a really popular.
He wasn't
pickup.
A good replacement. 9 points is not good, but
no,
okay.
he was a popular pick on the waiver wire. But I was just kind of like, when I put him in the waiver wire column, I said, "Warning, you're not playing him this week." I mean, I know he's going to be.
I wouldn't play him any week.
Yeah, I mean, it just because of volume. But Sterling Shepard was another popular pick, but again, the Tampa Bay defense may be the best defense in the NFL right now. They are just on all levels.
Hard to hear.
It is hard to hear, but you're not, I don't think you're playing.
Any I don't want Tom Giants. Brady to have everything.
Oh, but you're not playing any Giants this week. You're just not even
Danny Dimes.
Not Danny Dimes. Maybe Evan Ingram, just because the tight end landscape is just so ugly. But on the Tampa Bay side, I mean, they got Chris Godwin. He's out with finger surgery.
But they never needed him anyways.
They didn't. I mean, maybe Mike Evans. Mike Evans has always done better when Godwin is out. His targets go up. Scotty Miller has basically filled in for him well. And Gronk, he's back. I mean, he got 62 yards and a touchdown last week. But and Brady is tough. I actually heard on a different podcast that someone was asking about the possibility of trading Lamar Jackson to get Brady, and I was just like, how can you imagine 3 months ago if we would have been talking like that? They would have said,
that's
local,
stupid.
Stay local.
No, that's stupid even still, because Tom Brady is so inconsistent because. It's just, my God! You don't.
Well, they're killing people. They're.
But he's not always part of it. Ronald Jones went for like over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns the week before, or whatever. And Tom Brady got very few points. So I've seen it where people are all like, "I don't want Tom Brady anymore because he wasn't scoring high points in this game. He does, but because he did so bad the previous 6 games, everyone sat him for someone else. So." I don't know. I'm not on the Tom Brady train. He's not consistent week to week yet for me.
No. And you know what? I don't like, I'm not touching this running back group I mean, I put Ronald Jones. I played Ronald Jones in DFS
No.
last week, and it was big, big letdown. Huge letdown.
I'm excited to see what Fournette's going to do because I have him in two leagues, but it's like I'm tired. Like, this season is the year of the stupid committees, and I'm just tired of having to try to guess which running back it's going to be because right now it's been none of them. Like, none of the committees have made a decision on who their top one is.
No, and they're not. And I don't know who's likely to do one anytime soon. So, but yeah, this one, I could see playing an Evans or a Miller, to get some, but the Giants defense, they've been sneaky pretty good against the wide receivers. They've got James Bradbury, who's been one of the top five rated, cornerbacks according to Pro Football Focus. So, vamos a ver. Almost have it. All right, that's it for this week. Everybody, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Be very scared. Be unfortunately, we have to be socially distant, but still have some
Still
fun
show
and
some spirit.
definitely some spirit and eat lots of candy. So gracias otra vez. Thank you to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out to you, the Familia community. Please subscribe at Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to leave us an Apple review, 5-star por favor. And remember, follow us on Twitter at Familia FFB, our Familia FFB Facebook page, and original content at familiaffb.com. Gracias, everybody. Remember, get out and vote. This is the weekend
Go
to really
vote. This is it.
get them in your get
En
them in the ballot
masse.
box. Get them in the they're open all day. So, porque siempre todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos.
Salud.